Now let's talk about Lifetime and a Lifetime Achievement, and talk about a Lifetime View. Let's talk about Cruz versus Faber. I am looking forward to this fight. What's your take on the fight?
I'm excited. At this point in Uriah's career, he still has potential to beat Dominic, but he's going to have to play it smart. I mean, in their last fight, that was as close as he can get, but he's changed since then.
I think Faber has to make this fight ugly and fast. I mean, I think he needs to take it to the ground and maul him the entire first round. He needs to get on him and get on him fast, because, you know, Cruz is such a hard puzzle to solve. He's different than he's the most unique fighter in mixed martial arts. He's a constant movement. You got to slow him down, and you know, Faber needs a slow fight. So the most important thing I think Faber needs to do is take it to the ground, slow the fight down, and grind it out, and make it an ugly fight.
You know, fighting's all about creating collisions. And the fact that in their previous fight, whenever there was a scramble, I felt that was where Uriah would benefit the most, because he's eliminating the reach that Dominic has over him. He's eliminating the height and the length at which Dominic can basically move around him. So what he needs to do is create all these scrambles and really capitalize on those small fractions of opportunities that he has to really take it to Dominic.
And with that being said, when you're looking at this title picture, this is the third fight between these guys. And the first one, Faber won. The second one, Cruz won. Who wins number three?
I got Dominic, unfortunately.
I don't want to say it. I got Dominic winning too. And, you know, I love Faber. He's a Sacramento guy. I'm Northern California. You know, we're in Northern California. We're in Sacramento. Love to support him. But I got Cruz winning. Like I said before, the only way I see Faber winning is just by making it ugly.
You know, this fight was 3 years old. They were coaching on tough, and they were ready to fight, but Dominic tore his ACL and had another knee injury, and they got sidelined. And I felt that was the best time for Faber to beat him. I mean, he was riding on a high of all the victories that he had, but it wasn't meant to be, and now here we are.
And at that time, I had Faber as the favorite. I thought Faber was going to win.
Exactly. I had the same.
Now, let's roll into, there's a third fight on this card for UFC 199 that we're looking at that I am truly kind of curious about. You got Hector Lombard versus Dan Henderson. And I really look at this as this could be Dan Henderson's last hurrah. He needs a win. He needs a win bad. I would love to see him come in and just look amazing. What's your take?
You know, Dan, like I mentioned earlier, he hasn't been the same since he's been off TRT. I mean, his chin hasn't been the same, and he can't take the same shots that he had in the past in his entire career. I mean, he was known for his ability to take shots, and now he's going to get tested by one of the heaviest, shortest but heaviest and stockiest guys in division. I mean, Hector's coming back.
Understatement.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, so you got two guys who are carrying two baby nukes in their hand. Who are you taking? Or should I even ask this one?
You know, if Dan doesn't land that right hand in the first round, I have Hector destroying him.
I don't care if he tries to land it. I'm taking Lombard. I think I think Dan has a very small window to land that bomb, and if he doesn't, it's over. I just don't give him any shot. I hate to say that, because I do think if he loses and he loses a decisive loss, it's kind of the end of his career.
I definitely agree.
You agree? All right. Well, that concludes us talking about UFC 199. What we're going to do next is we're going to roll into, you know, some big news that just kind of rolled in, the surprise news that just happened yesterday, which is we're in regards to BJ Penn being pulled out of the card for UFC 199 for using an IV. And you know a little bit more. I've been busy, so I didn't get a chance to really dive into this. So you know a little bit more about this than I do. It was totally disappointing because I was looking forward to seeing BJ Penn getting back in the game. You know, and he vows that this suspension won't end his career. But give me your take on the whole story as a whole.
You know, I was excited when BJ said he was going to come back. A little part of me didn't want him to get beat up like he did in that Frankie fight, but he was fighting against Dennis Seaver, and I gave him a good shot against him. Dennis Seaver had a pullout, and Cole Miller was his new replacement. It would have been a great jiu-jitsu battle, but now we have BJ Penn pulling out, or actually getting pulled out, because he voluntarily disclosed to USADA that he used an IV. And coming from the fact that BJ Penn in the past has criticized people for PED use, notably George St. Pierre when he fought him, it's kind of a shocker, but I mean, at this point, it's hard to be surprised with all the names that USADA's taken out of the game.
You know, it's one of those crazy things where he knew what he was doing, though. He knew that the IV was illegal. That's the thing that makes me scratch my head. I love BJ Penn. I just don't understand how you could make that mistake when you know that was not legal.
Well, when you consider the fact that he was fighting at featherweight, a weight division that he's only fought at once before for Frankie Edgar, there may have been some health side effects that we don't know about. That may have had him talk to his doctor and think that he can get away with it or something along those lines. But
so you're saying kind of one of those situations where he just really had no choice because of medical issues?
Yeah, he was having trouble with the weight cut. He was probably bulking up for this one whereas with the Frankie fight, he looked lean as ever, and it wasn't the same BJ. But this one, he tried to bulk up. He tried to get really ready because he wanted to put a stamp to end off his career, and that may have led to some health side effects.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on it. You know, we don't have any information on, you know, right now I haven't heard any, you know, reason on why he took the IV. It was from his doctor's recommendation. That's one of the things I do know, but, you know, I hope this isn't, I just don't want to see this is the way BJ Penn ends his career with a suspension, you know, something like that. So, you know, hopefully this whole situation can get cleared up and, you know, BJ can come back and actually have, you know, kind of a going away fight. I don't really foresee BJ trying to make this a true comeback where he's planning on fighting 4, 5, 6 more fights. So do you?
No, I think he just wants to end up on the top and with a win. That's what he tried to do with Frankie, and it kind of backfired on him, and he's trying to get the goal now.
He's trying to, you know, he's trying to erase a, he wants to end on a positive note and erase a bad situation.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Now, speaking of positive notes, let's go with Chris Cyborg. You know, Chris has just come off of a big win on our UFC debut. And, you know, and I mentioned in another show, I was a little heartbroken that at the end of her fight, she said that she was the Invicta champion and that she's, You know, she wants to defend her Invicta championship. I didn't really believe her at the time. I didn't. And then, you know, there's been a bunch of rumors and a bunch of news that have come out recently from the fact that it looks like she's planning on actually defending her her Invicta championship instead of taking maybe some very interesting fights that they have here in the UFC. What's your take?
Well, I think that she really struggled with that weight cut to down to 140. And I think I can respect the fact that she wanted to defend her belt, but she's leaving a lot on the table with potential matchups with Holly Holm, Miesha Tate, Ronda Rousey, and even Jermaine Vanderbeek. I mean, I was really looking forward to that fight, even if it was just a rumor.
You know, and yeah, as you mentioned the rumors, there was two main rumors that they were talking about, and which still could happen. The first one was Jermaine Duranemi, and the other one was her fighting Holly Holm. Now, first, before I touch on these two fights, one of the things that I know she had a hell of a time making weight, and I saw an interview where she was talking about how she had to train, you know, three sessions a day, every single day, just to make weight. She was down to just eating fish. I mean, it was such a really, really strict thing just to get down to 140. And the way I understand it, it was really tough for her. And with that being said, you know, the nice thing about, you know, what she's wanting to do is, you know, doing a UFC fight where she's going to fight Holly Holm, I'm all for it. I think it's a big name. It's a big name. It's one that will get a lot of great pay-per-view dollars. But when you're talking about Jermaine Duranemi, I don't know about you, William, but I would tell Cyborg to steer clear of that fight. And my reasoning behind steering clear is Jermaine is a person, that's one of the fighters that certain fighters are just made for you. And I think she's one of those fighters that could actually give Cyborg a really tough fight. And I don't see a real benefit for Cyborg to risk that much by fighting her. So I wouldn't, if I was Cyborg, I wouldn't take that fight. I would take the Holly Holm fight. Or, you know, and if she wants to go back and defend the Invicta title, I understand.
As a fan, I definitely want to watch Jermaine Vanderbeek versus Cyborg, and even Holly Holm versus Cyborg, and even any of those combinations, because as a fan, that's what I want to see. But in reality, it is not a good real risk-reward ratio for Cyborg to take a bout with Jermaine. I mean, Holly Holm is a name. She defeated Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey is a name. She defeated everyone. I mean, you have to take in the fact that she has to make it worth her while to get to that weight and to really make her mark on the UFC, and I don't think she's going to make that with Jermaine Duranemi.
Well, with that being said, I don't know who they're talking about putting her in the ring with in Invicta, but there's one person that I see that they would make a fight with her on, and that's Megan Anderson. I could see her defending her title against Megan Anderson. And that's a very risky fight. She could actually do a situation where she goes back to Invicta, fights Megan. Megan is a very powerful, big, strong woman, just like Cyborg is. Now, Megan's a fighter who may not be as polished and may not be as experienced as Cyborg, but every fight, Megan is getting better, and she's getting stronger. And I would give Megan a fighter's chance against Cyborg. And if Cyborg is going to go in and she's going to risk, you know, a loss or risk a dangerous fight, if it's Megan Anderson she's thinking about fighting, I would skip the Megan Anderson fight as well. Megan Anderson is without question my favorite 145 fighter, her and Cyborg are, but I wouldn't risk that fight either. I would stick with the UFC, and I would hold out and just say three fights I want. I want Holly Holm, I want Ronda Rousey, I want Miesha Tate, or nothing at all. That's what I would do.
You know, I don't know if Invicta is going to put Megan Anderson versus Cyborg. I think they might go with the Alexis Dufresne bout. I mean, Alexis was coming off a victory and a huge upset against Marlos Cohen. I mean, that was a great fight, and I think that they might use that as a building block for Cyborg to really get her name out there as well and just to make the transition back to UFC. And then they might go with a Megan Anderson fight after that to really get
I kind of agree with you on that one, too. So sorry, I didn't mean to over-talk over you, but I do agree with you big time. Now, with that, you know, this concludes us talking about, you know, some of the fights. Let's talk about the dream fight that everyone's talking about, and that is all the talk about McGregor versus Mayweather. And I spent a long time just trying to ignore this rumor. And originally I thought it was a rumor, but there, as the more and more I hear, there's starting to become some validity to this fight. And some of the rumors have been from the first one where Mayweather takes $1 million, McGregor gets $7 million. Then there was another rumor where Mayweather takes $100 million and McGregor gets $50 million. But every single time you look at this fight, and I say this, I'm a big McGregor fan. I'm a big Mayweather fan too. A lot of people don't like Mayweather, but I'm a boxing fan and I'm impressed by Mayweather. Okay, with that being said, if Mayweather decided to fight McGregor in a UFC ring, my money would be on McGregor. But McGregor is talking about coming in and doing a boxing match with Floyd Mayweather. And this is coming from a guy who is truly, truly a McGregor fan. If McGregor decides to get in a ring with Mayweather in a boxing match, Mayweather's going to beat him like he stole something. I'm telling you, this is not a fight that the UFC really wants, because McGregor's their big money guy and their big cash cow. It's bad enough to see him lose to Diaz, but to follow up and lost to Diaz, but with a follow-up, a New Year's fight with Mayweather, where literally I think he'll get smashed and demolished. I just don't think it's a good thing for the UFC. I don't think Dana will ever allow this fight to happen. So I truly think it's a pipe dream. Do you agree, disagree?
I definitely agree. If Mayweather and McGregor were ever to step into a boxing ring, by the end of the night, Mayweather would be called Dr. Mayweather because he put on such a clinic for McGregor. I mean, it would just be bad, bad news. And he's just so much more technically sound, and it would be destruction on his part. But the thing is, when you talk about Mayweather, you're talking about a promotional king. He wants to keep his name in the headlines.
He is definitely a king, my friend.
And when you talk about the fact that he's in consideration for being the promoter for MMA. He's trying to get into MMA as a promoter, and he's talking with John Jones and possibly having John Jones join the money team. I mean, we're talking about just a guy trying to play on his success and really elevate his name into the MMA spotlight, because he's all about combat sports and he's all about that money.
He is definitely about the money. Now, with that being said, McGregor said something this week that I thought, I mean, actually McGregor's been saying a lot of things that I just think is just absolutely crazy. And the craziest thing of all is the fact that he said a couple things. First off, how he would be the favorite. He said he's the younger man. He's the bigger man. He's the stronger man. And that may be the case in a UFC ring, but in a boxing ring, the defense of Mayweather, the footwork of Mayweather, is like nothing he's ever seen in the UFC. And I just don't see him as a, you know, I just think he's just not prepared for what he'll see in the ring with Mayweather. The other thing that he said that I thought was absolutely crazy, he said that Mayweather needs him more than he needs Mayweather. Now, when you look at the net worth of the two fighters, the net worth of McGregor is $14 million. 14. The net worth of Mayweather, who spends money like it's freaking water, his current net worth is $700 million. I don't think Mayweather needs McGregor. McGregor needs Mayweather. And if I was McGregor, I would do everything I could to get in the ring to make a $50 million pay cut. But where he's trying to say, only way that he wants $100 million and Mayweather gets $100 million, that he wants an equal split, he's out his mind, because he will never get an opportunity to make this much money in one night ever in his career.
First of all, when you're talking about how McGregor went into basically a boxing match with Nate Diaz, if you thought that 1-2 that Diaz landed and staggered McGregor with was bad, we're going to talk about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 that Mayweather's going to land on him all night long before he falls down.
Oh, yes. I don't mean to laugh, but Diaz is not as fast as Mayweather. I just see Combination City with this fight.
And when you go back to McGregor, he's going through probably one of the toughest times in his life. I mean, he was riding that high that he beat Jose Aldo with, and he thought he was really invincible. He thought he could take any fight on any notice that he wanted, and he thought he'd come out on top. Well, the sport doesn't work that way, and we saw it with his fight in Diaz, and he's really just, at this point, I think he's trying to find himself. He's trying to get that confidence back, so he uses these words to really motivate himself and really try to boost his morale back to try to get into title contention for that lightweight title and really to defend his featherweight title if he's ever going to do that.
You know, that's a question that I have is he ever going to defend that featherweight title? And this is what I'll say. I truly think that he's a man on an island right now. Standing up in the featherweight division, standing up, there is no one in the featherweight division that I think can catch him standing up. The problem is that next time he's in the ring, there's going to be some people that are going to take him to the ground. Diaz actually proved that McGregor's ground game is below average, very below average. Watching McGregor and Holly Holm lose that night, it was just kind of like a male-female carbon copy of what was going on. One fighter was, dominant while standing up, but they had absolutely no answer for the ground game. I think a lot of fighters saw that. I think a lot of fighters realized that, I better respect McGregor's ability to fight while standing up. Because at first, a lot of people didn't really respect McGregor at all, and they thought he was all hype. But now they realize, the man's the real deal standing up. Take him to the ground and expose him. And so that's where I think a lot of fighters are going to do. I think he should drop back down and defend his title. But going up and trying to fight at 170, I think it's a bad decision. And I think his time in the limelight will be short, because there's a lot of other fighters, I'm sorry, that's better than Diaz, that's going to be able to take those shots at 170 pounds. He should not be in the 170-pound weight class.
I'm going to have to disagree with you about the comparison that you had with Holly Holm and Conor McGregor. Okay. The difference between them was that Conor McGregor was rocked before he tried to become a wrestler and try to take Diaz down to gain his wits about him again. When you look at that first round, they did take it to the ground, and McGregor actually performed a sweep that was actually high level. But even his coach was telling him to get off the ground, but that showed that he was a little bit above average. it's just when we're talking about Diaz and the fact that whenever he has you hurt, he's going to end the fight. I mean, he just destroyed him with that guillotine. And I don't know if it wasn't a guillotine. It was a rear naked choke.
It was a rear naked choke, but we understood what you were saying.
Yeah, so I don't think that was a knock on McGregor's ground game. He just wasn't able to adapt to the fact that Diaz was a larger man, and he hit him with some shots that he hasn't been hit with before.
Well, there's a little truth to what you're saying there. I personally thought he was surprised that because of a bigger man could take his shots, where shots that he would have knocked other guys out with, Diaz was still standing there. And then, and he said it himself, by the second round, he was gassed. He was gassed. He was moving slow. You know, even when he tried to take Diaz to the ground, I kind of looked at it as like a desperation move. But, you know, anyway, not really going too much into the Diaz fight. Just saying that with all the talk of, you know, McGregor, you know, all there's just been so much McGregor talk. I just don't think the Mayweather fight is a good decision on his part whatsoever. Any last words before we start wrapping things up here?
I think the Mayweather and McGregor fight will be a great fight for their wallets.
Now, in your heart of hearts, will this fight happen?
No.
I agree. Absolutely not. Okay, guys. With that, we're going to wrap things up. I really would like to thank my co-host today, William. William, you did a great job. Thank you for everyone for tuning in. To find us, go to www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can also download us on iTunes. Thank you again, and good night.